At the age of 9, Louis Nowra's dad took him on a road trip from his hometown of Melbourne. He was meant to stop in Wollongong, but couldn't resist the chance to show his son one of the most beautiful structures in the world, the Sydney Harbour Bridge. That moment stayed with the playwright and author, and he rekindled his love for the Harbour City when he moved there in his late 20s to kick off his career, which has gone on to include, lots of writing and productions, Radiance, The Golden Age, it goes on. His new book, Sydney, a biography, is really almost like a love letter to Sydney, the origins, the personalities found in the Emerald City. And Louis joins me now. Welcome.
Good morning.
Is that a fair way to describe it? I feel like you are having a love affair with Sydney.
Yes, it's a love affair with somebody who is beautiful, but you realise has flaws. At the same time, the beauty and the history make up for those flaws.
You say you've fallen in love with Sydney as only someone who wasn't born there could. It's really resonated with me as a person born in Melbourne who moved to Sydney and fell in love too. Does an outsider's eye make you more curious of your surroundings?
Oh, yes. It makes everything more intense when you go to another city that you fall in love with. With Melbourne, I was brought up in a housing commission area called Fawkner, which is only paddocks, no trees, nothing, no birds. And I came to Sydney and just the sensuality of the weather, the sandstone buildings, the harbour, of course, the mercurial weather, and it seems subtropical. And it's also that the people seemed more open and had less clothing. I have a Melbourne friend who comes up to Sydney and she always says, I feel like a prude. All those Sydney bodies with not very much clothing. And that was one of the things that struck me, is the sensuality of the artwork, the photography, the people themselves. And that's caused, of course, by the weather.
Yeah. Early in the book, you remarked that Sydney is divided in two by the weather. What do you mean by that then?
Well, the most interesting thing about this weather is that when it's about 30 degrees on the coast, if you go towards Penrith, it's 40 degrees. It's a completely different world. There's no sea breeze or anything. And all of the history of Sydney has been based on the fact that people flocked to the east of Sydney and they were more wealthy, more educated, and to the west was less educated and less wealthy and also has not very good weather.
Yeah, it is very much, isn't it? Sea breezes are everything and not everyone can afford a sea breeze. I mean, you can visit, but it's not easy. What comes through in the book is your insatiable curiosity. You're having a drink at your local pub and hear the story of Dame Edith Walker, which takes you down a wonderful rabbit hole. Can you take us through that story?
Well, I drink at a pub in Woolloomooloo. I live in King's Cross, Woolloomooloo, called the Old Fitzroy. And one of the bar staff, Caroline, was a designer, designed dresses. And I said, I was researching this book on Sydney. And she said, you ever heard of the Yarralla Estate and Dame Edith Walker? And I said, no. She said, well, she was one of the richest women in Australia. And so Caroline took me to the Yarralla Estate. She was brought up in Concord and so used to play in the grounds of the estate. And once it was huge, it took in the whole of Concord. And Dame Edith was a spinster. Her father had said that any man who wanted to marry her was a gold digger. And she and her father built two great hospitals. And her whole estate was like a little village. It had its own post office, everything. And in the late 19th century, early 20th century, she hosted royalty. It was an incredible different world. And to actually find out about her and what she represented for over 50 years was an extraordinary find. And it just came about, if you're curious about things and you ask people, it's amazing what you find out.
Wherever you look in Sydney, you see sandstone, rock shelves and caves have been carved and painted with Indigenous stories, and it's the foundation of numerous buildings. And you contrast that to the Blue Stone in Melbourne. How are the Stones? I mean, there's a real rivalry feeling here. I don't mean to set that up at all. I think we should all be friends. But, you know, why is the Stone so significant to you?
Well, to me, this is going to be really terrible what I'm going to say about Melbourne. But to me, the Blue Stone, yes, I'm erasing things as I'm thinking. But the Blue Stone is very, very cold. I remember going to visit my stepfather who was in Penstridge Jail, and it was built out of Blue Stone. I thought, that is so appropriate for a jail, Blue Stone. And when I came up to Sydney, it seemed as though Sydney had given birth to itself in the Victorian era. There were all these beautiful buildings made out of sandstone. The sandstone seems as if it's organic, it's growing, and it glows in the sun. And it just has this optimism about it.
Okay. I quite like Blue Stone, just to get that on the record. In fact, I don't discriminate against any stone. All stones are good. Look, you're a writer on Rachel Perkins and David Dale's seminal series, First Australians. Indigenous history is a core part of this book. How did you go about that part of the research?
Well, I'd already done a lot of research for First Australians, and so I consulted the research I'd done, and also I just read a lot of books, and this was a section that was growing larger and larger and larger and taking over, and I had to whittle it back as I did some other sections, because really the most fascinating thing about Aboriginal people in Sydney was once they thought... Europeans thought that they were dying out in the 1840s, 1850s. There's hardly any in Sydney. In the 1950s, 1960s, Aboriginal people started to come back into Sydney, find factory work and everything. And by the 1990s, you had this incredible demographic revolution, and there was Aboriginal art, films, writings, dance, the Bangarra Dance Company, and you think, what an extraordinary change from the 1850s when there's only a few Aboriginal people in Sydney.
Now, just before I let you go, look, each Australian state is pretty parochial. Given you grew up in Melbourne, how would you try and sell a book on Sydney to the people of Victoria after insulting their stone? Someone's texted in, by the way, saying sandstone erodes, blue stone is everlasting.
Well, that's a very Melbourne concept, isn't it? Well, I'm kind of hoping that Melburnians are interested in Sydney, that they're not that parochial. But I have to say, maybe Melburnians are that parochial. And maybe Paul Keating was right. You know, if you're not in Sydney, you're camping out.
As a national program, people listening in Perth, listening in Darwin, listening in Arnhem Land, I can tell you there's no camping out there. Or if it's camping out, it's camping out in style. Thank you for joining us. Really interesting book.
Thank you very much.
Louis Nowra is a playwright, novelist, essayist, screenwriter and, well, provocateur, isn't he? His new book is called Sydney, A Biography, and you're listening to RM Breakfast. I got another one on Bluestone. Someone who said, he's from Orange, Craig. My friend lived in a Bluestone house in the central west New South Wales. She said it's 20 degrees inside in all seasons, so it might look cold, but has great thermal properties. There you go, I didn't know that. I think they both look nice. I don't know. Maybe I'm just too friendly to all stone. You're listening to RM Breakfast.
ABC RN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.